Let's pray together.
Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word again. And we thank you for the fact that we never grow weary in coming to Holy Scripture, because we realize, Lord, that it is God-breathed and it's given for our learning. And so we ask, Lord, that you will now come and help us, and that the word of God will live to us again this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we will read from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and read from verse 1. The title of my message this morning is A Biblical Description of South City Church. Now that may sound an odd title, but I hope that you will understand why I've given it that title. Let's read from verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you that you walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore I say, when he ascended on high, he led hosts, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. As I said already, you may find the title that I've given to the message somewhat odd. Indeed, someone might say it is somewhat suspicious. How can we have a biblical description, some might say, of a church that has been formed only a short time ago? So let me try to explain my title. Every true church, that is, every true church, must of necessity be biblical. If it is not biblical, if it is not founded on the Word of God, then it simply is not a church. South City Church declares that the Scriptures, and the Scriptures alone, are the final authority and all matters of faith and practice. So in our faith and in our practice, we seek to be guided by the Word of God alone. And so, you see, my title is not as odd as some might think, and it is not something for which you should be concerned. Is the church a perfect church? Well, of course it isn't a perfect church. And if someone said, and you probably know this, it's been said so often, if you were to find a perfect church, then we suggest to you that you do not join it. Because if you do join it, you will only spoil it. There is no church that is perfect. But every true biblical church seeks perfection. Now we come to consider this today because we plan to welcome Joseph and Diana into fellowship of this church. Last week we had the great joy of seeing them baptized and declare in their testimony that they have been born again from above, that they have been saved from their sin, that they are children of God. And so this morning we come with the great delight again of welcoming them into the fellowship of this church. My message has a trinity of purpose. Firstly, it's to clearly inform Joe and I what they are committing themselves to. That's only fair. To clearly inform them, to instruct them what they are committing themselves to. Secondly, to remind every member of this church what they have committed themselves to. And thirdly, to help everyone understand the wonder of a New Testament church. So that's my three purposes in my message this morning. And now, we are a church, as a church, and all of you are aware of this, have a regular program that runs each week. Sometimes we make some changes to the program, as John has just described this morning. Sometimes we will add other things to it. But we run, generally, a regular program each week. Now, how do we come to decide on such a program? How do we decide on that? Have we simply been traditional? After all, we are a Baptist church. So, are we just being traditionally Baptistic in what we do? Or have we decided this to please ourselves and our lifestyle? After all, we live in South Auckland. We have a particular lifestyle. Many people are very, very busy. Have we decided to set our program down in accordance with our lifestyle? We worship, we preach, we teach, we pray, we fellowship, and we seek to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this simply because we believe and see very clearly that this is what the Word of God teaches, and this is how a local church ought to function. And of course, as we welcome new members into the church, we have this expectation of everyone who joins South City Church, as we have it stated in our constitution. We say, the constitution says, attendance at all the church meetings unless providentially hindered. Now, that can sound so very legalistic. And that is the very last thing in the world that we want to do. Legalism is binding. Legalism eats into people. And eventually legalism destroys people. And so we do not say that from a legalistic point of view, but we say that from a biblical point of view, which we will see as we go on. It stems from a deep love and concern for one another, and to honor and to exalt the Lord of the church. This is why we do it, out of a devotion and love for each other, and an honor, and to bring honor and to praise and glory to the Lord of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I have said, is it a perfect church? The answer to that, of course, is no. God's word describes the church like this. It describes the church, firstly, as a sanctuary of worship. Secondly, as a school of learning. Thirdly, as a shelter of comfort, encouragement, and care. And thirdly, as a stage for evangelism. A sanctuary of worship, a school of learning, a shelter of comfort, encouragement, and care, and a stage of evangelism. Now, probably we could add to that, but that is what I want to look at this morning. So first of all, we see, as we come to the Word of God, we see it as a sanctuary of worship. A sanctuary of worship. How do we see that? Well, we do because in reading God's word, we see that the prime reason for a church to meet together is that they might come and worship the triune God. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 23 to 25, these words: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing nigh." Now you notice what the writer said, that we're not to neglect the meeting of the church. That we're not to neglect the meeting together, the one with the other. We ask ourselves then, what is the prime purpose of the church meeting together? Well, if we began at the book of Genesis and worked right through to the book of the Revelation, we will see this knit right the way through from beginning to end, where we are told that our chief end is to glorify God and then to enjoy him forever. And as we come together, the chief purpose is always so that we might worship God, so that we might worship God. And so, as we come together, as we did this morning, we sing. And what do we sing? We sing praise to God. We sing great biblical truth. And in singing those truths, we do so in worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. We read the Holy Scripture. We read it with reverence, because we recognize that the book that we hold in our hand is the Word of God. Whenever we come to preach, what do? We look to God for wisdom to guide the preacher, knowing that he in himself is nothing. And the preacher's responsibility is to open the Scriptures and to preach the Word of God to the glory of God. Whenever we come together to pray in our prayer meetings and in our worship service, what do? We come to lift our hearts and our souls up to the throne of grace. And in our prayer, we praise Him for His goodness, for His grace, and for His kindness. And we look to Him for help, and we pray for the souls of men and women. And in all of that, we worship. In all of that, we worship. Corporate worship, my dear friends, is a wonderful means of grace which has been ordained of God. Sometimes people say, I don't go to church. I just stay at home and I worship God, or I turn on the telly and I watch some of the telly evangelists. Well, my friends, we cannot do that, because the Word of God is so very clear that we are to gather together to worship Him. Yes, we can worship at home, but we're never to neglect the assembling of ourselves together so that we might be able to come and worship the Holy God. We come in praise and worship and adoration to the One who has brought us up out of a horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock and established our going and put a new song upon our lips, even praise unto our gods. So in everything, we praise Almighty God. We worship at His footstool. We adore Him for who He is. And so, as Joseph and Diane come to join themselves to this church, they just come to be part of this great worship of the one true and living God. Secondly, it is a school of learning. It is a school of learning. In Ephesians, that we have just read together, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, we read, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My dear friends, I want you to note that verse, and those verses, and I want you to note three important truths that emerge from them. I haven't time to develop them, but we'll look at them briefly. Firstly, we see what the Lord of the church has given to the church. Secondly, we see why He has given this gift to the church. And thirdly, what the outcome of this is. See verse 11. Verse 11 says to us, and He gave apostles. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. So in verse 11, we can see the four gifts that have been given to the church. Now you might say, I can't count right because there's five, but really there's only four. We see here that he has given these gifts to the church. He has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. That's really how it should read. Pastor teachers, or if you like, shepherd teachers. We in South City have our apostles. That might shock you. We have our apostles. Where are they? Do we say we have the Apostle Dave and the Apostle Philip? Or maybe the two old men, they are our apostles. Is that what we're saying? No, my dear friends, that's not what we're saying. Then you're saying then we don't have apostles. No, that's not what I'm saying. We do have apostles. See, the Roman Catholic Church teaches what they call apostolic succession. Apostolic succession. And that means that from the days of the church, Pope followed Pope, the very first Pope being Peter. Now, how they ever got that, I don't know. But the very first Pope was supposed to be Peter. And from then, they have had apostolic succession, Pope after Pope, right down to the present Pope today. Now, that's not what the Word of God teaches. And I'm not going into detail on that. The Bible does not teach apostolic succession. But the Bible does teach apostolic fulfillment, which is totally different. Who are the apostles of South City Church? The apostles of the South City Church are the same apostles as the church in Corinth had, or the church in Ephesus had. They had Peter and Paul and John and James and all the rest that we find in Holy Scripture. These are South City apostles. They are the foundation. They are the foundation of this and every other New Testament church. Ephesians 2, verse 19 and 20 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of what? The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone or the cornerstone. You see, the church universal is built on the apostles and prophets. The church local, the local churches that meet all over the world today, all the true churches are built on the same foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. So my dear friends, this morning, we are so proud of our apostles in South City. We are so proud of them because they are the ones that were called of God to lay the foundation of this church of which we are part. He has given us also to the church. He has given prophets. Do we have prophets? Well, There are many people today, and sadly churches today, who will say that they have modern day apostles and prophets. My dear friends, if you ever hear that, make sure that you see, you feel, and know that that is alarm bells ringing. Because if someone says we have our apostles and our prophets, then they were saying that we are not really built on the foundation that was led by God through the apostles and through the prophets. Does South City Church have prophets? Yes, we have dozens of them. From the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation. We hear from them week after week after week after week. Each time the preacher gets up to preach the word, we're hearing from the apostles and prophets that God has placed in the church. And until this world ends, the church will continue to be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And then, of course, we have, and we will not touch on the evangelist just now, we'll touch on that right at the end, but we have the pastor teachers or the shepherd teachers. Now, I want you to note that this is a dual role. This is a dual role. Note their calling in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, as we have just read. And he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. See what he does it for. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now you can see here the purpose for giving the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastor teachers to do what? To equip the saints of South City Church for to do the ministry God has called them to do. That's the role of the pastor teachers. Their role is to equip the saints. How do they do that? They do that by preaching the truths of the apostles and the prophets. By teaching the great truths of Holy Scripture. They are to equip the saints. Note that word, equip. To equip the saints for the ministry that God has called them to. So every person in this church has got a ministry. Joseph and Diana, as they come into membership of this church this morning, as they have been saved by sovereign grace, are in this church for ministry. They have a ministry that God has given to them. But the responsibility of the elders and the pastor teachers is to equip them for the ministry that God has called them to. You also see in the text, is to build up South City Church in its most holy faith. And to see South City Church mature in Christ-likeness. We see all of that in these verses. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a responsibility is given to the pastor teachers to use the truths of the apostles and prophets and evangelists. And you see, the Holy Scriptures, my dear friends, is the central pillar of South City. Baptist Church. It must be, otherwise it will cease to be a church. Your role is to fill the heads of the saints with the great truths of God. But my dear friends, it is not their role to fill the heads of the saints with mere theological facts. I want to make a point of that this morning. It is not my responsibility to fill your head with mere theological facts. Not to know the theory of theology, but to teach it as a working truth. Not to know the theory of theology, but to teach it as a working truth. Let me say this, that theology that is not applied is theology denied. And that is absolutely true. There is no point in us spending hours and days and weeks and months filling our head with theology if that theology does not work out in our life, and it does not work out in our church. It's a mere waste of time. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't teach theology. Of course we do. It is central. But it is a theology that is worked out in our lives. This is what the pastor's teacher's role is. Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until God's people recognize their calling, recognize the niche that God has placed for them in the church, and they fulfill that responsibility. If the pastor teacher is not working with the apostles and the prophets to equip the members of South City Church for the work of ministry, then they have failed. Can I say that again? If the pastor teacher is not working with the apostles and prophets to equip the members of South City Church for the work of ministry, then they have simply failed. So, my dear friends, we can see what Joe and Diana come to commit themselves to today, to the sanctuary of worship, to come to not forsake the assembling of their selves together, to come week after week and at every opportunity within the church to worship. And so it is a place of worship, a sanctuary of worship. It is a school of learning. Thirdly, it is a shelter of comfort, encouragement, and care. It is a shelter of comfort, encouragement, and care. In Ephesians 4:15-16, we read, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body," that's the church, "joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let me quote that 16th verse in another version. "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." South City is not an organization. It is what we call an organism. It is not an organization, it is an organism. Someone will say, pray tell me, what is an organism? Well, the dictionary says, it is a body of independent parts working for the good of the whole. It is a body of independent parts working for the good of the whole. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we read these words. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, Irishmen, Scotsmen, Samoans, and New Zealanders. And all were made to drink to one spirit, and Indians. Now it's important that we understand this truth, my dear friends. It's so important that we understand it. If we don't, the church will make no sense. So many people who just don't make sense of the church. And I can sympathize with them sometimes, because I wonder, why does South City Church have our weekly programs? Why do we have our weekly programs? Bible study, prayer meetings, fellowship meetings. Why do we unite in this way in a weekly basis? Well, let the scripture answer the text we had before in Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, the local church is a place of encouragement. And it is your responsibility and my responsibility for us to encourage each other in the faith, to encourage each other. Who here this morning doesn't need encouragement? We live in such a crazy, busy world where all sorts of things are happening, and sometimes we feel like a headless chicken. We need encouragement. And that's one of the purposes of the church. That is one of the purposes of South City Church, is whenever we come together to encourage one another. And so much more, the writer says, as we see the day drawing near. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 25, we read that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So you see what that verse is telling us. That the church comes together so that we might care for one another. We know that one of our members are going through a struggle. They're going through a difficult. We pray for them in our own private chamber. But whenever we come out to church, we come to encourage them. They're going through times when they're finding the going hard. We're there to encourage them in their faith. James 5 and 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Oh, my dear friends, the purpose of the church is that we might pray. You notice the one another's. We've talked about this before. Well, whenever it talks about one another, it's talking about the church. It's talking about a body of people who know each other, who love each other, and who pray for each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 9 we read, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to do what? To love one another." To love one another. So we are to encourage each other. We're to pray for each other. We love each other. And so the purpose in coming together is so that we might show our love, so that people within the life of our church might feel loved. Do you feel loved in South City Church? Oh, I hope you do. And if not, then there's something awry. You see, the church is a place where love is felt, love is displayed, love is distributed. In Galatians 6 and 2, we read these words, "Bear one another's burdens." Again, the one another. "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens. You see, we're here for each other. We're here to say, "Oh, please, let me help you to carry that burden. Let me help you to get through this struggle." You know, whenever men and women are in isolation, sometimes, you know, when I'm at home and as I've grown older and I go to do something, I go to pick up something heavy, you know, and I think to myself, and this goes through my mind, I say to myself, "I wish I had Abram here just now. I wish I had Charles just here, some of the other men just here. They could pick it up in their little finger, and I'm struggling." Within the life of the church, spiritually, we're here to bear each other's burdens. And I say to Joe and Diana this morning, this is the church that you're coming into. And if it's not, then tell me. Oh, can you see the beauty of the organism? Please let me say something very personal just here. Sometimes people will ask the question, "Pastor, what are your burdens?" And I'm just like anybody else. I've got burdens that I've got to bear. They're nothing compared with many other burdens. They're light and momentary, really. But you know, one of the great concerns I often have, one of the pastor teacher's great disappointments in the life of the church is this, and please listen, because I speak from my heart. For me to come to church on the Lord's Day, for me to come to the prayer meeting throughout the week, or to come to a time of fellowship, and find some of God's people not there, that burdens my soul. It saddens my soul. You know why? Because I really do have concern for them. And I wonder, why did they not get there today? Why did they not come to pray? Why did they not come to worship? Is there a spiritual problem? Do they really need help? And I know that it's not only my burden, but the burden of most caring pastors for their people. We have a responsibility. We watch for men's souls as they that must give an account to God. So each time I receive a text or get a call of apology, I feel sad. Now often it's because somebody just cannot make it. But you see, every time we miss out in blessing. Every time we are missing, the devil is rubbing his hands with glee. It's the shepherd's concern for his flock. Why are we not feeding on the word? Why do we not come to be encouraged and be encouraged? Why do we not come to pray and to be prayed for? Why do we not come to weep and to rejoice with each other, to pray and to praise together, and simply to enjoy a little bit of heaven upon earth? I am absolutely convinced that the closest men and women get to heaven upon earth is when they meet in a church that is Christ-centered and is functioning in accordance with the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Listen to the great shepherd, or one of the great old shepherds, in John and 3 John, verses 1, 2, and 4. He says, I rejoice greatly when the brothers come and testify to your truth, as indeed they walk in the truth. And then he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. My dear friends, I do not claim to be super spiritual, but I can say this in all honesty and heart, that it gives me no greater joy than to see my spiritual children walking in the truth. It's a sanctuary of worship. It's a school of learning. It's a shelter of comfort, encouragement, enjoyment, and care. And our time is gone, so let me just deal with this quickly. It is a stage for evangelism. It is a stage for evangelism. You know the Great Commission. Let me read it. It's in the screen. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the world. This is the revolving work of the South City Church. It's the revolving work of every church. Do it continually. And right from the beginning until now, the church has continued to do it. To preach the gospel, to baptize the converts, to welcome them into the church, to teach them the doctrine of the apostles and of the prophets. This is the continual work of South City Church. Evangelism is the work of the whole church, not just the faithful few. Yes, the Lord has put within the church evangelists, and sometimes there are those who are raised up, and my responsibility is also to evangelize in my preaching. But all of us have been given this responsibility of evangelizing. Gives me great joy when I hear people say, could you please pray for my mum? Could you please pray for my dad? Could you please pray for my brother, my sister, my nephew, or whatever? Because I'm witnessing to them. I'm seeking to teach them and tell them of Jesus and encourage them to turn to Christ. It gives us great joy to be able to pray. Evangelism is central in the life of the church. It is so important that we keep it ever before us, and we try and we pray that God may give us wisdom how we may do that much more effectively. So today we welcome Joseph and Diana. into our church. How delighted we are that we can do that. Our earnest prayer is that they will find this place to truly be a sanctuary of worship, a school of learning, a shelter of comfort, encouragement, and care, and a stage for which they can join in the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can understand, my dear friends, now why I give to you the title, a biblical description of the South City Church. This is what we desire to be more and more. And we trust that with God's help, we may be able to be what is described here in a more meaningful and fulfilling way in the days that lie ahead. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the description and the clear teaching that we find in Holy Scripture regarding the church. And oh, Father, we pray that this church will not only declare this, but also work it out in its life, so that as people come, they might see and feel and hear and know the love of God, and that the great truths of Holy Scripture will be something that they feast upon. And for any who know not Christ, as they come, as they sit under the Word of God, as they fellowship with the people, that truly they might fall down and say, truly God is amongst you, and that they might turn to Christ. Thank you for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.